Welcome. You are listening to Aftersight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining us for Arapahoe County News, read by Austin. Today we will be reading the following main articles. Council member claims she got Aurora off of Trump sanctuary jurisdiction list. Perry, mything the point, science not wishing, saving the lives of drug addicts. And county names recipients of youth awards. And we'll be following up with other miscellaneous articles. Sentinel, Metro. Council member claims she got Aurora off of Trump sanctuary jurisdiction list. Quote, the Department of Homeland Security has made an update and Aurora has been removed from the list. I appreciate the communication and help I received in making this happen, end quote. Written by Rebecca Santana, Associated Press, and Sentinel staff writers, May 30th, 2025. There are three ads associated with this article. The first ad, Sentinel Muse. There's a list of different events that are coming up in the near future. Friday the 6th, Core Strengths SDI 2.0 Assessment Lunch and Learn. Saturday the 31st, Is Your Dog Getting Enough Exercise for a Healthy Lifestyle? Moss, Denver. Saturday the 31st, Could Reliable Pet Sitting and Dog Walking Transform Your Routine? Right Room, Denver. Saturday the 31st, Is There a Connection Between Boredom and Puppy Biting? Right Room. Saturday the 31st, The 16th Street Summer Kickoff Celebration, Colorado Convention Center, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 31st, Can Consistent Routines Help Reduce Puppy Biting? The Right Room, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 31st, How Do We Ensure Your Pet Is Loved and Cared For Like Family? The Right Room, Denver, Colorado. The second ad, now on the SEEM Network, Power and Community Starts Here. Local stories revealing the systems shaping everyday life in Colorado and the community power rising to change them. Read it at partner.ethnicmedia.co/power-in-community. Presented by the Colorado Health Foundation. There is an image of different people sitting around a table in the background. The third ad, new driver flex rate, get your first auto loan with us. The District Credit Union. Federally insured by NCUA, there's an image of a woman leaning out of her car with her hands up in the air feeling the breeze of the wind. Washington. Aurora was on and is now apparently off a Trump administration list of, quote, sanctuary jurisdictions, end quote, and a local city lawmaker said on a social media post she intervened to make it happen. Quote, I understand that Aurora was originally listed as a sanctuary city, end quote, Jurinski said in a social media post Friday morning. The Department of Homeland Security has made an update and Aurora has been removed from the list. I appreciate the communication and help I received in making this happen. Jurinski did not immediately return requests for comment. City officials repeated past statements that Aurora lawmakers have passed resolutions affirming that the city refutes the label of being a, quote, sanctuary city, end quote. Quote, the Aurora City Council affirmed that in a vote in 2017 and then again in February 2024, end quote, city spokesperson Ryan Luby said in a statement Friday. Quote, as we always have, we work with our federal partners and follow federal law and directives as they apply to our community. Nothing has changed, end quote. Thursday, the Homeland Security put Aurora and more than 500, quote, sanctuary jurisdictions, end quote, across the country on notice that the Trump administration views them as obstructing immigration enforcement as it attempts to increase pressure on communities it believes are standing in the way of the president's mass deportations agenda. When asked Friday why and how Aurora was removed from the list, Homeland Security officials would say only that it is subject to regular revision. Quote, designation of a sanctuary jurisdiction is based on the evaluation of numerous factors, including self-identification as a sanctuary jurisdiction, non-compliance with federal law enforcement in enforcing immigration laws, restrictions on information sharing, and legal protections for illegal aliens, end quote. A senior spokesperson for Homeland Security said in a statement, quote, the list is actively reviewed and will be regularly updated and can be changed at any time. The state of Colorado and Denver, as well as two of Aurora's overlying counties, are on Trump's list. Most other Colorado counties are as well across the state. There's a screenshot of a post that Daniel Jernsky posted on the social media account X with the following. I understand that Aurora was originally listed as a sanctuary city. The Department of Homeland Security has made an update, and Aurora has been removed from the list. I appreciate the communication and help I received in making this happen. Quote, Colorado is not a sanctuary state, despite this completely incorrect designation by DHS, end quote, Governor Jared Polis spokesperson Eric Marunuma said in a statement Thursday evening. Quote, Colorado and its cities and counties prioritize public safety and local and state law enforcement work closely with federal law enforcement to apprehend dangerous criminals, whether they are from this country or not. We cannot comment further as DHS did not provide information as to how the determination of states, counties, and cities were made, end quote. Jernsky has claimed in past public meetings to have ties to the Trump administration. In October, she appeared at a Trump campaign rally at the Gaylord Hotel in Aurora in support of Trump's push against Venezuelan gang immigrants, which he falsely claimed have overrun the city and much of Colorado. Trump announced that a nationwide mass deportation campaign would be called, quote, Operation Aurora, end quote. For weeks, Trump repeated and promoted false claims that immigrants in Ohio were eating dogs and cats and that Aurora was overwhelmed by immigrants. Aurora police have walked a fine line saying that they cooperate with federal immigration officials in detaining immigrants suspected of crimes, but that police do not and would not ask anyone about immigration status when encountering people in the public during the course of their work. The department on Thursday published a list of jurisdictions and said each one will receive formal notification that the government has deemed them non-compliant and if they're believed to be in violation of any federal criminal statutes. The list was published on the department's website. Arapahoe County officials said it has received no notification of the list. Quote, we are unclear as to why Arapahoe County appears on this list as we comply with federal laws and uphold both the U.S. and Colorado constitutions, end quote, Arapahoe County spokesperson Jill McGranahan said in a statement. Quote, until we receive more information or official guidance from DHS, it would be inappropriate for us to speculate or provide further comment, end quote. Requests made Thursday to the White House and Homeland Security about criteria used to make the list was not immediately returned. Amid the more than 500 citations, nearly every populous county and state were named. Quote, these sanctuary city politicians are endangering Americans and our law enforcement in order to protect violent criminal illegal aliens, end quote, DHS Secretary Kristi Noem said in a press release. The Trump administration has repeatedly targeted communities, states, and jurisdictions that it says are not doing enough to help immigration and customs enforcement as it seeks to make good on President Donald Trump's campaign promises to remove millions of people in the country illegally. The list was compiled using a number of factors, including whether the cities or localities identified themselves as sanctuary cities, how much they complied already with federal officials enforcing immigration laws, if they had restrictions on sharing information with immigration enforcement, or had any legal protections for people in the country legally, according to the department. Trump signed an executive order on April 28th requiring the Secretary of Homeland Security and the Attorney General to publish a list of states and local jurisdictions that they considered to be obstructing federal immigration laws. The list is to be regularly updated. Federal departments and agencies, working with the Office of Management and Budget, would then be tasked with identifying federal grants or contracts with those states or local jurisdictions that the federal government identified as, quote, sanctuary jurisdictions, end quote, and suspending or terminating the money according to the executive order. If, quote, sanctuary jurisdictions, end quote, are notified and the Trump administration determines that they, quote, remain in defiance, end quote, the Attorney General and the Secretary of Homeland Security are then empowered to pursue whatever, quote, legal remedies and enforcement measures, end quote, they consider necessary to make them comply. There's no specific or legal definition of what constitutes a, quote, sanctuary jurisdiction, end quote. The term is often used to refer to law enforcement agencies, states, or communities that don't cooperate with immigration enforcement. ICE enforces immigration laws nationwide, but often seeks state and local help in alerting federal authorities of immigrants wanted for deportation and holding that person until federal officers take custody. One way the administration seeks to enlist state and local support is through 287G agreements with local law enforcement agencies. Those agreements allow local law enforcement agencies to assume some immigration enforcement duties and greatly expand ICE's capabilities. The number of those agreements have skyrocketed in just a matter of months under the Trump administration. ICE has about 6,000 law enforcement officers, a number that has remained largely static for years, who are able to find, arrest, and remove immigrants it's targeting. By relying on local law enforcement, it can quickly scale up the number of staff available to help carry out Trump's mass deportations agenda. Communities that don't cooperate with ICE often say they do so because immigrants then feel safer coming forward if they are a witness to or victim of a crime. And they argue that immigration enforcement is a federal task and they need to focus their limited dollars on fighting crime. The Trump administration has already taken a number of steps targeting states and communities that don't cooperate with ICE and has met with pushback in the courts. One executive order issued by Trump directs the Attorney General and Homeland Security Secretary to withhold federal money from sanctuary jurisdictions. Another directs federal agencies to ensure that payments to state and local governments do not, quote, abet so-called sanctuary policies that seek to shield illegal aliens from deportation, end quote. There is one picture associated with this article with the following description. Federal agents from ICE, ATF, DEA, Homeland Security, and others during a series of immigration raids in Aurora and Denver apartments, February 5th, 2025. Agents said on social media they were searching for more than 100 people suspected of being linked to the Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua, as well as people suspected of trafficking illegal drugs. Photo via ATF X account. Centennial, opinion. Perry, missing the point. Science, not wishing, saves the lives of drug addicts. Quote, safe injection sites and making naloxone easily available do not promote drug use or crime around the machines or clinics. They prevent death, and living people can and do kick their addictions. Dead ones don't. End quote. Written by Dave Perry, Centennial, Colorado editor. May 30th, 2025. There are three ads associated with this article. The first ad, Centennial Muse. There's a list of different events that are coming up in the near future. Friday the 6th, Core Strengths SDI 2.0 Assessment Lunch and Learn. Saturday the 31st, Is Your Dog Getting Enough Exercise for a Healthy Lifestyle? Moss Denver. Saturday the 31st, Could Reliable Pet Sitting and Dog Walking Transform Your Routine? Right Room, Denver. Saturday the 31st, Is There a Connection Between Boredom and Puppy Biting? Right Room. Saturday the 31st, The 16th Street Summer Kickoff Celebration, Colorado Convention Center, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 31st, Can Consistent Routines Help Reduce Puppy Biting? The Right Room, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 31st, How do we ensure your pet is loved and cared for like family? The Right Room, Denver, Colorado. The second ad, now on the SEEM network, power and community starts here. Local stories revealing the systems shaping everyday life in Colorado and the community power rising to change them. Read it at partner.ethnicmedia.co/powerandcommunity. Presented by the Colorado Health Foundation. There is an image of different people sitting around a table in the background. The third ad, new driver flex rate, get your first auto loan with us. The District Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA. There is an image of a woman leaning out of her car with her hands up in the air, feeling the breeze of the wind. Nothing hurts like the truth. Here it comes. First off, bats aren't blind. They can actually see really well. Go ahead, sugar up your neighbor's kids when they come to visit. The old adage about sugar making kids hyper? Not true. No evidence at all. Lots of stories, though. Fortune cookies? Yeah. Not Chinese. Invented in California. More? Coffee does not stunt growth. Really. Lightning does strike twice. Sometimes it strikes the same place a lot. And no one ever got warts from a toad or frog because they have none. Now, for the hard part, providing drug addicts with a safe public place to shoot up heroin or some other illegal drug does not encourage users to keep on using, nor does it keep people from kicking their addiction. I know it's hard to believe because it's so anti-ethical to what most of us were indoctrinated with since we were young. For the most part, and for most people, we're raised to believe that as humans, we do the, quote, right thing, end quote, because we fear the consequences for being bad. Quote, do you want a spanking, end quote, is training for, quote, do you want to get a ticket, end quote, which leads to, quote, do you want to go to jail, end quote. Human history is filled with the idea that fear of bad is what keeps the vast majority of us being good, or relatively good. Having been subjected at an early age to conditioning known as, quote, Catholic guilt, end quote, and, quote, Jewish guilt, end quote, and, quote, stress eating guilt, end quote, I totally get it. Most of us live our lives by some version of the Ten Commandments and not the Torah, Bible, and Quran books and Gospels that show us all, by example, how we should act to be better people. So I wasn't surprised last week during an Aurora City Council meeting when some city lawmakers began objecting to a plan to spend some opioid addiction settlement money on installing a couple of vending machines in Aurora that would dispense Narcan or Naloxone. Those are the almost miracle drugs that can actually stop someone from dying from an opioid overdose. The drugs are so effective that they're credited with saving the lives of thousands of people in Aurora, Denver, and across the country who are overdosing on fentanyl or some other opioid concoction. Basically, an opioid overdose prevents your body from telling itself to keep breathing. The opioid molecules stick to special cell receptors in the brain and in your body, causing a euphoric high and slowing respiration, even to the point of death. Naloxone hogs those receptors with no side effects and can restore breathing all in a matter of minutes. The trick to naloxone's success is making sure someone has a bottle of the nasal spray when someone near them is overdosing. Remarkable success has come from huge campaigns to mail it to just about anyone who asks, letting them get it from a pharmacy or hand it out to government types likely to interact with people who do drugs. So people like cops, medics, social workers, and folks like that who can recognize someone overdosing and knows how to administer the drug can, and do, save a lot of lives. So can just folks you work with, maybe your brother-in-law or a teacher. Since almost all of us really frown on people shooting up heroin, snorting cocaine, or outright popping fentanyl pills, there's a lot of guilt, shame, and stress for people who not occasionally and unwisely do these drugs, but especially those actually addicted to them. Opioid addiction is among the most insidious thing humans have ever inflicted on themselves. I've known people addicted to these drugs. I've seen them jones for it. It's horrible and relentless. I've seen people lose limbs to diseases caused by using dirty needles or simply destroying their circulatory systems. I've known people who traded their addiction to Percocets or Vicodin for a workable addiction to methadone. Drug addiction is filled with myths and misconceptions. For the most part, people with serious opioid addictions aren't partying when they're using. They're often nearly comatose or non-functioning, but the idea that they're having a great time is so far from the truth. They're ill. Another myth is that drug addicts are mostly homeless people, or that most homeless people are drug addicts. There's no doubt that there are lots of people living on the street who suffer all kinds of addiction and other health problems, but an opioid user or addict is more likely to be your neighbor, your niece, or someone who doesn't look anything like what most of us are taught to think of as drug addicts. So that's why the objections of the city council are what's so anti-ethical to good science, reality, and saving lives. Quote, I just want to make sure we're not promoting any sort of, you know, safe injection sites, and for me, that kind of teeters on that, end quote, Councilmember Daniel Jernsky said during a recent city council meeting as city staff talked about a plan to put a couple of naloxone vending machines in the community. No doubt we're all grimacing thinking about a safe injection site where the people show up, get a clean needle, inject their heroin or speedball while a nurse looks on, and then heads out. The reality of those places is that they're primarily used by people who otherwise would shoot up in the dark part of a park or alongside the dumpster behind a fast food restaurant. They might overdose or die there. They might contract HIV or get a blood infection and end up in the emergency room, costing all of us tens or even hundreds of thousands of dollars, all for a $10 high gone wrong. Several Canadian studies have even shown that many of those who use these safe shoot sites quit their addictions rather than die from them. The science is solid. They don't attract crime. They don't bother anyone. They work. The science is just about as solid as getting as much naloxone out into the public as possible. There's no street party around the vending machines, usually set up in hospitals or controlled public areas. Nobody does heroin or, quote, blues, end quote, any more or any less because they think naloxone is a, quote, check mark, end quote, for, quote, all good to go, end quote. These machines simply give people unable or unwilling to ask a pharmacist or explain to someone at home while they're having naloxone mailed to the house. It's just a place where they can get this life-saving drug just in case they know someone who would need it. I know it's hard for most of us to get past the idea that this just enables people's dangerously destructive behavior, but the reality is addicts are going to drink, shoot up, or snort their folly despite what we think or believe. Thousands of years of addiction across humanity doesn't lie. Safe injection sites and making naloxone easily available do not promote drug use or crime around the machines or clinics. They prevent death, and living people can and do kick their addictions. Dead ones don't. No lie. Follow at editor Dave Perry on Blue Sky, Threads, Mastodon, Twitter, and Facebook, or reach him at 303-750-7555 or dperry@centennialcolorado.com. There is one picture associated with this article with the following description. Brian Hackle, right, an overdose prevention specialist, helps Stephen Baez, a client suffering addiction, find a vein to inject intravenous drugs at an overdose prevention center in 2022. Across the U.S., drug overdoses killed an estimated 100,000 people in 2021, according to federal health officials. AP photo, Seth Winnig. The picture is of Brian with the drug addict, and they have a mirror showing him how to use the needle properly. Centennial, Metro, check it out. Aurora Library Books, Farmers Markets for the summer. Quote, libraries are more than just books. They're hubs for healthy, thriving neighborhoods, and this collaboration is a perfect example of how we're reimagining library grounds into a space for connection while serving our community, end quote. Written by Cassandra Ballard, Centennial staff writer, May 30th, 2025. There are three ads associated with this article. The first ad, Centennial Muse. There's a list of different events that are coming up in the near future. Friday the 6th, Core Strengths SDI 2.0, Assessment, Lunch and Learn. Saturday the 31st, Is Your Dog Getting Enough Exercise for a Healthy Lifestyle? Moss, Denver. Saturday the 31st, Could Reliable Pet Sitting and Dog Walking Transform Your Routine? Right Room, Denver. Saturday the 31st, Is There a Connection Between Boredom and Puppy Biting? Right Room. Saturday the 31st, The 16th Street Summer Kickoff Celebration, Colorado Convention Center, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 31st, Can Consistent Routines Help Reduce Puppy Biting? The Right Room, Denver, Colorado. Saturday the 31st, How Do We Ensure Your Pet Is Loved and Cared For Like Family? The Right Room, Denver, Colorado. The second ad, now on the SEAM Network, Power and Community Starts Here. Local stories revealing the systems shaping everyday life in Colorado and the community power rising to change them. Read it at partner.ethnicmedia.co/powerincommunity. Presented by the Colorado Health Foundation. There is an image of different people sitting around a table in the background. The third ad, new driver flex rate, get your first auto loan with us. The District Credit Union. Federally insured by NCUA, there's an image of a woman leaning out of her car with her hands up in the air feeling the breeze of the wind. Aurora. Residents near the Hoffman Heights Library are getting a farmer's market all summer. Quote, libraries are more than just books. They're hubs for healthy, thriving neighborhoods, and this collaboration is a perfect example of how we're reimagining library grounds into a space for connection while serving our community, end quote, said Ginger White Ronetti, Director of Library and Cultural Services, in a statement. Aurora Public Library is partnering with the mission-driven organization Rebel Marketplace to bring a monthly farmers market to Hoffman Heights Library through September, according to the statement from the city. Quote, the farmers market at Hoffman Library was created to be an authentic neighborhood marketplace run and operated by surrounding community businesses with the library as the hub, end quote, the statement said. Rebel Marketplace is a local group of urban farmers in Aurora who started growing produce in their backyards and aim to build a, quote, food sovereign neighborhood, end quote. The Johnson family's story of starting the Rebel Market was reported on last year by the Centennial. Quote, the Rebel Marketplace believes that there is enough talent and businesses in a 6-mile radius to fully supply and stand up a neighborhood marketplace, end quote, the Rebel Marketplace website said. Quote, by creating a singular, locally run access point for goods and services, we envision a vibrant, cooperative, and healthy community, end quote. Each farmers market will host multiple programming events as well. Quote, we're thrilled to launch this unique partnership with Rebel Marketplace to bring fresh local food and community connections right to the doorstep of Hoffman Heights Library, end quote, Brunetti said in a statement. Each farmers market will be held at the Hoffman Heights Library, 1298 Peoria Street. They will take place from 6 to 8 p.m., June 11th, July 9th, August 6th, and September 10th. The library will also stay open late on those nights for its programs and additional services. The Hoffman Heights Library will also host story times at 6:30 p.m. and 7:30 p.m., a kids play area at 6 p.m. and 7 p.m., and a team game space from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Hoffman Heights Library Programs. Learn to make fermented hot sauce with horrifying hot sauce, 5 p.m., June 11th. Makes seed bombs, 6 p.m., June 11th. Succulent pot painting with plants and pots provided, 6 p.m., July 9th. Rainbow scavenger hunt for children 8 and older with prizes, 6 p.m., July 9th. Block printed totes, customize your own tote, 6 p.m., August 6th. Intro to pickling by learning to make pickle brine with ingredients provided, 6 p.m., September 10th. There is one picture associated with this article with the following description. An array of beets were available at this Rebel Marketplace Farmers Market from last year. Centennial file photo. The picture is a bushel of beets that are bright purple and red that have a very unique distinction. Centennial Citizen Independent. Volume 24, Issue 26. Week of May 29th, 2025. County names recipients of Youth Awards. Graduating seniors honored for overcoming adversity and taking positive steps toward their futures. By Isabel Guzman. Isabel at cotln.org. During a May 15th ceremony, the Arapahoe County Board of Commissioners, joined by local mayors, honored the 2025 Youth Award recipients, a group of graduating seniors recognized for overcoming adversity and demonstrating commitment to their futures. The annual Youth Awards program provides scholarships to students pursuing post-secondary education at vocational, 2- or 4-year institutions. Recipients are nominated by teachers, counselors, and school administrators with scholarship amounts and the number of awards varying each year. Quote, "It is an honor to recognize these incredible young people who have overcome so much to become strong, inspiring, and successful members of our community," end quote, said Arapahoe County Board of Commissioners Chair Leslie Sumney. Quote, "We are delighted to be able to contribute to their ongoing success through our Youth Awards program," end quote. The 2025 recipients are Dylan Smith, Heritage High School of Littleton Public Schools. Once struggling in a traditional classroom, Smith found his stride in Heritage's hands-on aerospace manufacturing program. He plans to continue his education at Community College of Denver and to keep spreading positivity. Emmeline Kennedy, Smoky Hill High School of Cherry Creek Schools. A dedicated student athlete and compassionate leader, Kennedy has overcome personal challenges to become a driving force in student government and community fundraising. She's been accepted to multiple universities, including the University of Northern Colorado and Regis University. Esmeralda Flores Rosas, Central Gateway High School of Aurora Public Schools. Balancing family responsibilities and academics, Flores Rosas led an environmental initiative at her school and inspires kindness among peers. She has been accepted to Colorado Mesa University. Gabrielle Hankins, Vista Peak Preparatory. Overcoming early life challenges, Hankins became National Treasurer for Future Business Leaders of America and earned an associate's degree while still in high school. As an early entrepreneur, Hankins supports a vending machine business and freelances in graphic design. Gazal Abide, Eagle Crest High School of Cherry Creek Schools. After relocating from Syria, Abide thrived academically and is committed to a future in medicine, hoping to give back to her community as others did for her family. Henry Menegas, Epic Campus of Littleton Public Schools. After serious injuries, Menegas' determination and hard work enabled a remarkable recovery where he relearned basic skills and rebuilt his strength. Now back to full-time learning, he serves as a model of resilience. Jalen Cabs, Cherry Creek Elevation of Cherry Creek Schools. Cabs' early challenges inspired her to support others. Recognized for her compassion and kindness, she aims to study development psychology to help children facing trauma. Tegan Collins of Littleton Public Schools. Collins's high school years were marked by personal loss and mental health struggles, but they emerged as wise, compassionate leader dedicated to spreading positivity here to, quote, put more good into the world, end quote. Jenier Olivares, Aurora Central High School of Aurora Public Schools. Olivares balanced academics and varsity sports while volunteering to fight food insecurity. He will be the first in his family to attend college, with plans to study at Metropolitan State University of Denver. Joaquin Medina, Options Secondary Program of Littleton Public Schools. Medina, founder of a gay-straight alliance club and top of his class, is pursuing dual licenses in cosmetology and barbering, with dreams of opening his own business. He plans to attend Arapahoe Community College in the fall of 2025 to pursue an associate's degree in business entrepreneurship. Jocelyn Hernandez Martinez, Cherry Creek High School of Cherry Creek Schools. Once not interested in school, Hernandez Martinez became a leader as co-president of Latinos Unidos and now plans to become a forensic psychologist studying at Metropolitan State University of Denver. Josiah Jojo Hernandez, Regis Jaisal High School. Hernandez embraced his identity and inspired peers to appreciate diversity as he worked to revitalize school spirit. He will attend CU Boulder to study nursing, hoping to work in intensive care. Landon Mendoza, Eagle Crest High School of Cherry Creek Schools. Despite a difficult childhood, Mendoza perseverance shines through his academic dedication and creative ambitions in costume design. Lexi Pinales, Eagle Crest High School of Cherry Creek Schools. Following the death of her mother and grandmother, Pinales has excelled academically and hopes to pursue veterinary or cosmetology school in the future. Monica Torres Gatton, Options Secondary Program of Littleton Public Schools. Torres Gatton transformed her academic journey, earning healthcare certifications and working part-time with plans to pursue a degree in special education after a gap year. Nayeli Chikavali Mendez, Gateway High School of Aurora Public Schools. After immigrating from Guatemala and facing a serious health diagnosis, Chikavali Mendez prioritized her academics and became a role model in her school community as a member of the National Honor Society. Rafael Alvarenga, Epic Campus of Littleton Public Schools. Alvarenga and his family came to the United States when he was 12 years old and overcame homelessness during his school career. He then became a leader in construction studies and soccer. He will study construction management at Colorado State University. Ryder Abell of Littleton Public Schools. Abell, once homeless, credits his family and karate for his strong work ethic. He excels in woodworking and computer science and will attend Arapahoe Community College. Yoel Caleb, Heritage High School of Littleton Public Schools. Born legally blind, Caleb mastered adaptive technologies and excelled in cybersecurity studies. He plans to pursue advanced degrees in computer science and cybersecurity. There are a few different ads on this page of the article. First ad, Arapahoe County, Investing in Arapahoe, 2025 State of the County. Tune in Tuesday, June 10th from 8 to 10 a.m. for our annual State of the County address, streamed live on our Facebook page. We'll dive into some exciting new initiatives, celebrate the work our teams and partners have done over the past year, and look ahead to what's next. Book online and book it in to our office. We've made appointments for motor vehicle and recording services easier. See next available times, simplified service options, book as soon as 15 minutes from appointment time. Visit arapahoeco.gov/appointments. Food safety training for cottage food producers. Arapahoe County and Jefferson County, Colorado State University Extensions. Cottage food safety. Learn food safety guidelines and the specifics of operating a cottage food business from home. The next online class is June 6th, 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Register now at https://bit.ly/CSU Cottage Foods. There is an image off to the left-hand side of cookie dough with M&Ms embedded in them. We are hiring. Join our team. Arapahoe County is always hiring. A full listing of open positions is available on arapahoeco.gov/jobs or scan the QR code with your smartphone. arapahoeco.gov, week of May 25th. Presented by Credit Union of Colorado and Colorado Housing and Finance Authority. Are you dreaming of buying your first home? Join the Colorado Sun for a free event with real information for young Coloradoans to get the keys to your first home. June 4th, 4:30 p.m., drinks and appetizers, downtown Denver. Scan the QR code or visit coloradosun.com/events to RSVP. CHFA, Credit Union of Colorado. There is an image above with the for sale sign in front of a home with nice green grass. Littleton Independent, Volume 136, Issue 43, week of May 29th, 2025. Littleton OK's paving Mineral Avenue Trail. Many residents are opposed to plan. By Isabel Guzman. Isabel@cotln.org. During the May 20th Littleton City Council meeting, the city discussed the Mineral Mobility East Project Overview and ultimately approved the construction contract for Phase 1 of the project, despite vocal opposition from residents concerned about the planned paving of the Mineral Avenue Trail. In 2021, the city of Littleton sought to improve safety and accessibility for pedestrians and bicyclists along Mineral Avenue between Santa Fe Drive and Windmere Street, which is a key east-to-west corridor connecting the Mineral Light Rail Station with residential and commercial areas. The Mineral Mobility East project, which began design in 2020, was introduced by the city's Public Works Department and has since secured funding from the Colorado Department of Transportation, Arapahoe County, the City of Littleton, South Suburban Parks and Recreation District, and the Denver Regional Council of Governments Transportation Improvements Program. The project, which has been delayed due to COVID pandemic and resident pushback, will be split into two phases. Phase 1 includes upgrading existing bike lanes to buffered lanes, paving the Mineral Avenue Trail with a 16-foot-wide concrete surface featuring separate lanes for cyclists and pedestrians, and improving trail crossings over the Highline Canal. Phase 2 is currently being designed and will include intersection protection at Jackass Hill Road and Long Avenue and Mineral Avenue and Mineral Avenue sidewalk widening. Resident pushback centered on the decision to replace the Mineral Avenue's trail's crusher fines, a natural, soft surface favored by many community members, with concrete paving. Several residents voiced concerns during public comment periods, urging the council to preserve the trail's natural character or consider a dual surface design that would maintain crusher fines for pedestrians while paving only the bike lanes. Quote, "Use the trail as a commuter road to get to the light rail will never happen as the distances are just too great," end quote, resident Mark Flink said during public comment. Resident Don Bruns argued that the improvement project's plan to pave the Mineral Avenue Trail, quote, "would absolutely not be an improvement. It would instead degrade its settling and recreational benefits to setting-dependent recreation users and would substantially change open space character," end quote. City Manager Jim Becklenburg cited costs and maintenance constraints were too great to consider a dual path. Public Works acknowledged the concerns from residents who want to preserve the Crusher Fines Trail, but maintained the stance that the project is funded by millions of dollars in grant money that must be used by the end of the year, limiting flexibility in design changes. Quote, "Our maintenance partner has told us that they do not plow Crusher Fines. That wouldn't be year-round accessibility, and it wouldn't be ADA compliant. I think we'd be in jeopardy of losing our project funding if we did that," end quote, said Brent Sauterlin, Director of Public Works and Utilities. Quote, "It seems like you're making a point that Crusher Fines won't meet those ADA requirements. Only concrete will. And I just disagree," end quote, Councilmember Patrick Discroll said in the Public Works team. Quote, "I think we've heard from South Suburban that they won't pave Crusher Fines, but they certainly will. I've seen them pave Crusher Fines. I think South Suburban is talking out of both sides of the mouth to appease us," end quote. Public Works also insisted that Crusher Fines trails do not meet ADA requirements. Quote, "If I voted against this, I'd be voting against the addition of traffic calming devices, strategic intersection upgrades. I am never going to be voting against those," end quote, said Councilmember Joel Zink. Driscoll said he agreed with Zink, except for the paving of the Mineral Avenue Trail. Quote, "I've heard a lot of bad information about how the concrete is best for the trail. I don't think we've done our due diligence. We know there's a huge cost savings if we do Crusher Fines. We know we can plow the Crusher Fines and it's ADA compliant, regardless of what you just heard. The citizens, in my opinion, we've all seen their comments. They have proved their case that Crusher Fines is the right choice for this trail," end quote, Driscoll said. Mayor Kyle Schlatcher struck down comments made by Driscoll. Quote, "I can understand why some members of the community do not like this project. I think saying, I believe that Crusher Fines are ADA compatible, when our funding partners are saying, we don't plow it, and saying that we believe they can, is not a good way to conduct business here. It's not a convincing argument," end quote, he said. Schlatcher emphasized the importance of accessibility of the project. Quote, "As far as I know, there's no one that can use a Crusher Fines trail that cannot use a concrete path. I know there's people that can use a concrete path that cannot use a Crusher Fines trail," end quote, Schlatcher said. Among the opposition, one resident expressed gratitude for the pavement of the trail. David Ortiz, a veteran who now uses a wheelchair after returning from serving in the military, said he's hopeful about the concrete trail. Quote, "All I wanted to do when I got home was go out to restaurants with my family, go to bars with my friends, and enjoy my community in the place I want to call home. But I realized real quick that it was not designed and made with me in mind," end quote, he said. Quote, "The pavement is accessible, that is equity," end quote. Phase one of the project is expected to begin soon and be completed by the end of the year. There are two pictures associated with this article. The first picture has the following description. The Railroad Spur Mineral Trail will be paved amid residents advocating for it to remain as is. The picture is of the wide and long trail with some trees off to the side. The second picture has the following description. The construction was approved on May 20th, 2025 by five council members. Council member Patrick Driscoll was the only dissenting vote. The images of a screenshot of the different council members, with Driscoll having a red square around his name, while the other council members have a green square around their name showing a for or against vote. Littleton Council discusses expansion of ADUs. June 3rd public hearing will examine plan for all residential zones. By Isabel Guzman, isabel@cotln.org. The City of Littleton is taking a major step in allowing accessory dwelling units, ADUs, a size-restricted independent living space located on the same lot as a primary home, in all residential zones. At its regular meeting on May 20th, City Council had a first hearing of Ordinance No. 9, Series 2025, which amends the City's Unified Land Use Code to allow residents to have ADUs. This move aligns Littleton's zoning regulations with new state requirements and the city's goals for housing diversity, such as the envisioned Littleton Comprehensive Plan, according to Andrea Vaughn, Littleton's senior planner. The ordinance comes in response to Colorado House Bill 24-1152, passed in 2024, which mandates that municipalities permit ADUs, sometimes also known as, quote, granny flats or, quote, in-law suites, in all residential zones. Quote, HB 24-1152 is meant to address the housing crisis across the state, as well as housing crises that are experienced by our aging population, end quote, Vaughn said. Since the adoption of Littleton's land use code in October 2021, city staff, property owners, and developers have worked within the code to manage specific applications. However, with the passage of HB 24-1152, Vaughn said the city recognized the need to update local regulations to comply with state law and to address the growing demand for diverse housing options. From June 2024 to March 2025, city staff conducted community engagement efforts, including study sessions with both the Council and Planning Commission, a community survey, meetings with technical stakeholders, and background research, according to the ordinance. Littleton Planning Commission held a public hearing on May 12th and unanimously recommended the code amendment to the City Council. In addition to permitting ADUs in all residential zones, the ordinance would bring more changes to ADU requirements. Maximum size for ADUs would increase from 750 to 1,000 square feet, remove the requirement of constructing new parking for ADUs, removes design standards that are otherwise not applied to primary housing builds, remove restriction that detached ADUs must be built on lots with alley access, removes the, quote, contained, end quote, ADU definition and standards. Contained type ADUs is now, quote, attached, end quote. Allows ADUs to be built up to the height allowance of the zone district. Vaughn said city staff believes this update will help meet the needs of the changing population, support intergenerational living, and offer new options for affordable housing. The ordinance passed its first reading with a 5-1 vote, with Councilmember Patrick Driscoll being the no vote. Quote, it's not that I'm against ADUs, it's against how the state is pushing it through and mandating it for the cities. Hopefully, the state will let us manage our own housing, end quote, he said. The matter will be considered for final approval on June 3rd, during which a public hearing will take place. There is one picture associated with this article with the following description. The ordinance could allow ADUs to be built on residential properties in all zones. Photo by Isabel Guzman. The photo is a picture of the different council members sitting up at the podium with a big screen displayed in the background. State to get EPA funds for contaminated sites. $11.6 million will go to the cleanup in six cities. By Sarah Wilson, Colorado Newsline. Colorado will receive about $11.6 million from the Environmental Protection Agency to clean up contaminated properties in six cities throughout the state. The brownfield grants will use funding from the Biden-era bipartisan infrastructure law and are meant to help remediate states that and prepare them for redevelopment and safe use. Quote, redevelopment of brownfields properties is often an insurmountable challenge for many communities, which may lack the resources to assess and clean up these contaminated properties, end quote. Tracy White, Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment's Hazard Materials and Waste Management Division Director said in a statement, quote, the award of EPA Brownfields funds is an exciting opportunity for the recipient communities, allowing them to return blighted properties to productive use and provide community benefits, end quote. The largest share of funding, at $4 million, will go towards cleaning asbestos contamination at the Sunset Park Apartments in Denver. The building has 242 units for people 62 years and older, and people with disabilities. It is owned by the Volunteers of America. The city of Fountain will get about $2 million to complete asbestos abatement on a 9-acre site that the city wants to redevelop into a community center, multifamily housing, outdoor recreation space, and offices for medical services and child care. About $1.9 million will go to treat asbestos contamination at the 142-year-old Jaffa Opera House in Trinidad. Canyon City will receive about $1.5 million for two contaminated sites, including a former dry cleaning business contaminated with tetrachloride and previous steel manufacturing site that is contaminated with heavy metals and polysilic aromatic hydrocarbons, which can cause health problems like cancer and kidney damage. The other grants will go to the Cortez Municipal Airport and two buildings in Lamar XQ. CDPHE will also get $1 million for its revolving loan funds, which finance environmental cleanup activity. Quote, "This brownfields grant funding is a smart investment in Colorado's future, cleaning up historic contamination while laying the groundwork for economic growth," end quote, EPA Region 8 Administrator Cyrus Western said in a statement. Quote, "By empowering communities to turn abandoned properties into productive assets, we're strengthening local economies and ensuring clean land for generations to come," end quote. Colorado grants are a part of about $224 million of awards throughout the country. This story is from Colorado Newsline, used by permission. For more, and to support the news organization, visit coloradonewsline.com. Thank you for joining us today for Arapahoe County News, read by Austin.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.